Hello.
Hi, is this Karen?
Yes.
Hi, Karen. It's Natalie calling from NMA Legal. I can hear you're driving at the moment. Is there a better time to give you a call?
No, if you bear with me, I'm going to pull in because I spoke to the investigation. I don't want it to take when I get home, so I'm just waiting for you to call.
Oh, right. Okay. You let me know when you've pulled over safely, and then we can get started.
Okay.
Okay, so are you okay? You parked safely and everything?
Yes.
Lovely. Okay, so for the data protection, can you just confirm your date of birth and your address, please?
Yeah, 28375 2 St Andrews Way, flat 11, G81 1DP.
Lovely. Thank you. I just need to make you aware that during the call, if you disclose anything that might be safeguarding, we do have to take a referral to the local authority, but we will discuss that with you in the first instance. And also, all our calls are recorded for compliance reasons. Are you happy to continue?
Yes.
Lovely. Thank you. So it's just to get a bit more information for the impact of your care, time in care for your application for Scottish redress. What age did you go into care, Karen?
So it's primary 5 and 6, so that would have been
So it was 8, 9, 10. So if I say 8, 9 years old.
between 8 and 10, yeah, because I remember being there for a teen first, but I was there twice.
Yep.
Yeah.
So can you remember what local authority that was with?
Yeah, it was Strathclyde, then under Glasgow.
So Glasgow.
And at that time, the council was called Strathclyde.
Okay, and were you known by any other names or nicknames? So I've got in brackets McCoy.
Yeah, so that was my mother's maiden name, so I had that name up. I don't know when they legally changed it, but I do know from my birth line that they changed it. But I don't know when they done it through the school, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Did you get known by any other names apart from, I've got Doherty, McCoy, Karen spelt Karon.
Yeah, and Geraldine.
And Gerald, was Geraldine an additional name they called you?
No. So my full name on my birth line is Karen Geraldine Doherty, right?
Yep.
They changed my birth line 9 years after I was born.
Right.
So up until when I was at school, I was known as McCoy, but I know that they started to refer to me as Doherty, but legally, I don't.
You're not
Know.
sure? Yeah, that's fine.
I'm just going off the birth lines. It was 1984 when my birth lines was amended, abbreviated, it was changed to add a husband as my father, which is lies as well, but we'll move on.
Okay, brilliant. What kind of settings did you live in? So the one I've got here is St Colette's Easter House in Glasgow. Was there any others?
That was the primary school that referred me to the establishment that abuse took place in.
So what care settings did you stay in, do you know?
It was residential schools.
Residential schools. Do you remember the names?
Yeah, it was Craig.
Yep.
And I can't remember the other one. One was in Irvine and one was in Kilmarnock.
Irvine and other Kilmar.
So one in Irvine was called Craig Residential School, spelled Craig, and the other one was in Kilmarnock. I can't remember the name of it.
All right. Well, we'll request your care records first and then take it from there about who else we can subject access request. So they were residential schools, so I'm assuming they had schools on site.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. Okay. And who's your registered GP at the moment?
It's Clyde Banks.
Yep.
Green Wing.
Yep.
And that's Glasgow.
Thank you. And do you have any professionals supporting you at the moment?
Yes, I'm working with First Tier, which is a state like counselling service that I have telephone support every second Tuesday.
Yeah, that's okay.
And I'm also, I've been referred to Living Beyond Trauma Programme. I'm just waiting for a date.
Okay.
And that's through the primary network.
It's really good that they do that programme. Not every area's got that. Yeah. No. That's brilliant. Have you got any mental health diagnosis?
No, not diagnosis, no.
Okay. And have you ever done any self-harm?
No.
Have you ever had thoughts of ending life?
Yeah.
Okay, and what age did that start?
I don't know how much information was shared to you from the initial conversation.
So, it's on a different section. I'm not sure if I can see it. So you don't have to repeat it. 1 second. Was it in your personal statement?
Yeah, probably, yeah. So So as a result of what I believe being in residential, my mum getting in a relationship, and then I was then sexually abused by that person.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say about 13, 14.
Okay. And that was following the abuse, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever had any counselling for that?
Throughout the years, I've dipped in and out, CBT, stuff like that, but it's only recently that I'm at an age where I have actually started speaking about the abuse. Previously to that, I was just very typical ACEs. I took drugs, in trouble with the police, and it was just that kind of a masking of everything. I would probably speak to the counsellors about different things, but never the actual what had happened.
So, in England, that's where we're based, we normally have specialised sexual abuse trained professionals. Now, they do counselling, they do, testing if it's a recent,
I don't know if that's what First Tier would track, because they're a service for children of sexual abuse.
Okay, so that's perfect. So that's what I was kind of hoping, that you were under the right service for you. That's really good. That's really positive. So I'm pleased that you've managed to find them. That is the best place to stay while you're going through this as well. Obviously, it's going to invoke those emotions, because it was all around the same time, wasn't it?
Well, this is where your guide has come out, because I've also disclosed this to the First Tier. I didn't know. And when I'm sitting back, like the time scale of how I think it happens is because these things happened to me when I was in residential school, and I was telling my mum, she didn't believe me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I believed that then he could see that she wasn't believing me.
Yeah.
So then he paid on that.
Yeah.
And I think that it was a kind of what happened at that young age, somebody see like I was not getting believed. It just escalated for him to do what he done. And then even when I told my mum about it again, it wasn't dealt with. I got told to be quiet. And then that's when I turned to drugs and et cetera. So, then it was just covered up.
So, I know that you've probably spoken to someone else, but I haven't got it in the notes. So, I know you mentioned at the beginning of the call you didn't want the call at home. Is that because people at home don't know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I have two daughters at home.
People in her home do not know about this. So please, what time's best to call? I'll just put it on here.
it's random because I want to work Monday to Friday as well, so and then I head home, so I can cut and shut. It's just as long as I get notice, I've got flexibility.
Yeah. So do you think if I send you a text message first and you text me back when you're test? Yeah?
Yeah.
So I'll put that. So please text organise availability in first instance and organise call when not home. Have you got support? Obviously, you've not told the kids and stuff, but have you got support around you as well? Because obviously, this process is going to be quite emotive, isn't it?
Yeah, because what's happened is I did share it with a partner, and he ended it with me. And when I went to counselling about 6 years ago in the CBC, that's when I confronted my mum about it, so I no longer have contact with her or my sister because she doesn't understand why I've fallen out with people. So I've kind of took all that guilt and burden on, so no, nobody else knows.
Okay.
Apart from yourself.
Okay, so I'm happy to obviously support you all the way through the claim, and at any point if you need to, you know, stop the call or come back to things, we can always do that. It might be worthwhile just going into the GP surgery and seeing if they've got a mental health practitioner, and you can access that alongside the counselling.
I've already been to see a CPA and I've already had an assessment.
Perfect.
So they've referred me to the Beyond Trauma programme. But I'll be honest, right, everything these days is it's all phone calls, it's Teams, it's online, and you know, it's like. And I'm older now, but I'm thinking if I had done this at a younger age, I would not have pursued this because it's just so intensive. Like, you're talking about the most personal thing that's ever happened to you in the phone, or even the counseling sessions over the phone, and even the assessment is the only thing I've done face-to-face, and even this trauma is on my Teams, and I'm like, this is so, and I can see it now because I'm coming out the other side and I'm stronger, but if I was
younger and more vulnerable,
it would put me off, and I think that's sad. I think it's so sad because the groups that I work with and are people that I tell him with, like on social media.
Yeah.
A lot of young people and they just don't know where to go, and it's
sad. So I used to work in mental health services and I would always offer people face-to-face, telephone or video call, and I would give them their preference. The most one that people asked for was telephone, because they didn't have to look at anybody and they didn't have to see the body language and engage. They can literally just say it to somebody that they don't know, if that makes sense. But everybody is different. So, you know, when you go for your trauma therapy, it might be worthwhile just saying, is there any chance I can have it face-to-face? Because if you're not going to get anything out of those sessions because they're by video call, there's no point in you doing it. If that's what's going to work best for you, they need to make an adaption for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll open it up, yeah.
Lovely. Okay, so have you ever received any hospitalisation for your mental health?
No.
Okay. Oh. Helps if I can spell today, honestly. have you had any physical health as an adult? Or do you have any? Yeah, no. So when you was in care, do you remember attending the hospital at all for anything?
No, so seeing as you're going to care, I'm going to give you a bit of backstory. So when I spoke to somebody originally, this is a voluntary order that my mum put me under.
Yeah,
when you're in school, now that I was told back then it was a holiday, but I've obviously found out that there must have been a request put in that my mum was needing respite or something like that, or I was like a difficult child. Like, it wasn't a holiday camp, you know, it was only a select member of people that went from the school. And then I spoke to the NNA and they said, well, it's what happened to you, were in that, even though it was a volunteer, you weren't under, you never had a social worker, I never, it wasn't my mum, I was taking away from my mum. I don't know if that makes things different in terms of this application or this interview, I don't know.
So what we'll do is we'll double check what legislation that you're placed under. So if it was like a voluntary order, section 20, that's still meaning that you were parented by the local authority. Section 31, that's an interim care order, again, still local authority and parent. And then a full care order is when obviously the parental responsibility isn't there anymore. So we'll have a look at what comes back on your records, and then as long as it sort of meets the criteria, we're completely open and honest with you and say what that was. I don't think they could have removed you without some type of temporary order. Does that make sense?
It was for 6 weeks as well. It wasn't like...
Yeah.
But that's what the caller was saying, because I don't know who I'd spoke to before, but they were like, oh, it wasn't under... Anyway, we'll move on to that. But I didn't want to waste the time just in case that I wasn't...
Well, we will do as much as we can to obviously get this case through and, you know, check everything with you.
Okay.
Before it goes to the panel, we come back to you anyway and have a little chat. Yeah, so you'll know everything. It's not like we're going to do anything like behind your back. It's all completely open and transparent. So you don't remember going to hospital in any of that time?
No.
Okay. Have you been arrested or any convictions?
Yeah.
And what age did you have that?
25, 26.
Yeah, and what was that for?
Condemning the supply of drugs.
So was that a conviction?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any more after that?
No, I was arrested for driving stolen cars, but that was in England, I didn't get any cars, I got thrown out.
No charges. Do you remember what age that was?
Been about the same age, and that was in Canterbury, too.
Canterbury. You're a long way from home.
I think you've done me your best, but I'm telling you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just don't have a choice, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, did you have an issue in your life with drugs or alcohol?
Yeah, alcohol and drugs.
What age was the alcohol?
So I left the house about the end of age 17.
Mm-hmm.
Alcohol, predominantly drugs, up until the age. Well, I kind of stopped when I got, when I thought I was going to jail, really. That was a period of, 8 years.
Okay. So that was about, you stopped about, was it 25, 26?
Yeah.
Okay. So
after I got that sentence, that was the kind of...
The kick that needed to make your decision.
Yeah.
So, up to age 25, 26 years old. Can you remember what drugs you started with and how it progressed?
So it started with LSD, and then ecstasy, and then I started using downers. I don't know what the real medical name is, but I think it was, we called them jellies then. I don't know what they're called. It was diazepam, I think, a form of, and then heroin, crack cocaine. I tried everything.
Okay. Did you go to rehab?
No.
How did you come off everything?
The person I was seeing he had diazepam, and I was just weaning him off that. But as I said, I was expecting a custodial. So I didn't want to get into prison with a habit kind of thing, so I just kind of done it myself.
Did you just go, that must have been her kind of really hard.
My court was the High Court in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And I was told, you don't get to walk out of there, so I knew that if I went into the jail, I was,
I'm going to say you went cold turkey, from drugs due to the fear of having a habit in prison, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, that's no problem. So have you done anything since 25, 26 with drugs or alcohol?
No.
Okay. I think since. It really did change your life, didn't it?
It does a wee bit, yeah. But I just found another habit. But
what's the habit now?
So back after that, I came out and I was just very, I was engaging in a risky business that I ended up pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that was probably the same way when I found out I was expecting that was at 29.
Yeah.
But up to that point, my self-esteem, my self-worth, I was putting the people, I was just like getting from my food. So I was just...
Do you mind if I write down what how you worded that? So if I say, can I report she was promiscuous, is that okay?
Yeah, okay. Yes. Because this is the doctor, like...
Yeah.
The risk, so like, your drug, alcohol is a risk, but then sometimes the risk going out and drinking and then waking up and not having a clue where I was, and it's only, like, I still dabble in that, if I'm honest, where if it had been for my sex and my watch, I wouldn't have known. Like, I would drink and then just black out, and it's only, like, the sex and my watch that tells me that I've actually been walking, because I've got no memory of it. When I wake up, I've stopped drinking. I've not drank now since... When did I start with counselling? I don't know. I think my last drink was at Christmas.
Yeah.
I don't drink in the house. Like, I'll go out and... It's the only time the noise stops, and I'll drink to the point where I don't think, I don't see it, and then I make bad decisions, and then I'm back to square one. And then there's the guilt and the trauma and everything else just stays. It just comes back in abundance.
Do you have, like, high times and low times when you're doing this?
Yeah.
Would you say that you would describe it like manic?
Yeah, it's, like, through different... Yeah. Yeah, very much. And this is when it stems now. I don't have a relationship with anyone. I can't sustain a relationship with a partner. I thought I trusted this person. But again, I went, he didn't drink, he didn't take drugs. And I thought I was doing well. And then my kids call it when she goes into cycle mode.
Does it last long?
No, it's like a rage of like, a day or two, then I'll come back to normal, but the damage is done.
Yeah.
I've already said things that I've hurt people, and to me, I'll just go back, and I've taken things on my phone.
Yeah.
And up to a point there, the doctor was saying, oh, because again, I had it, and they were thinking it was my menopause. But I was like, I know myself is no menopause, and then I put my antidepressants, and I said it's because in my head, I'm constantly thinking about it, right? So somebody can speak to me about something trivial, and I'm already biting my head off, and it's something silly. And before, and I said this to my husband, I never spoke about this before because I had to choose my two daughters.
Yeah.
And I was scared to admit things because I was worried I'd lose them.
Yeah.
They were just getting off me or whatever because I was unstable. But now they're older, they're 22 and 19, and that probably gave me the push to look after myself because I'm repeating the same cycle. All the time, and then I'm going to the doctor and I'm high as a kite and I'm documenting it and I'm putting down timelines.
How long do you stay, like, you call it high?
Until I come back down. So if I've got something planned, this is the thing, I've always got to plan something or look ahead to it.
Have they screened you for ADHD?
They did. This is what happened. So I've been homeless twice as well in this process. So my last period I went to the GP, I completed it for ADHD and then I moved the area and then the assessment got lost and I didn't have anything in me at that point. Again, I was starting again homeless.
Yeah.
And I got left and then there was a discussion on, you know, you have to go back to this centre and I had it to me in my fuck it button and I just asked myself to everybody then what I'll do is I'll fixate on something else.
Yeah.
And I'll blank it until something happens and then when that happens I will cause it again.
Yeah.
Where I just like that, I just thought to just like end my life and like,
so,
not being here.
I'm just, my previous role, I used to be a mental health practitioner. On when I asked you about diagnosis, you said no, but I've just looked at your personal statement. It says that you've got PTSD. Have you got that diagnosed?
No, so this is me listening the mouth to the council through first year.
Yeah.
And he advised me to go back to your GP and like say you want tested, and then the GP referred me to the Golden Hill Medical Centre. Then you've done an assessment and they referred me to somebody else. And I was like, why can nobody actually do an assessment? It's not that I want a label, right? But
sometimes you need a label to understand who you are, though. So.
And it's like, I can tell you that I know what I'm at now. I can identify myself now because I'm not using anything.
Mm.
I'm not relying on people to make me happy. I'm writing down stuff.
Mm.
You know, before I always had the kids that was there or I had to please a partner. I don't have any of that.
Mm.
And I'm concentrating on myself. And I'm now I work in social work. I work with homeless people. And it's losing out me. And there's nobody to come back and go, this is what happened to you and this is your outcome. Like, my behaviours are so
extreme.
Like, it can be because it's a miracle because I know what's happened. But to other people, I'm just eccentric or I laugh because I've made it out like I'm just, you know, up for it all the time. And sometimes I'm like, I'm not. And when I leave people, I just want to be myself.
So, I would directly ask your GP. There's two things that I think you need to investigate. One would be personality disorder and one would be ADHD, okay? And rather than them referring, you know where you've had the assessment, you don't want to be referred to the service. You would like to have a diagnosis because from what you're saying is you don't know what's going on without that, and that's what you need to tell them so you can make sense of it.
They referred me to the community links worker and I was like, I'm able to bring a conversation, I'm able to assess like, where I'm at, I don't need somebody to advocate for me, but I'm like, you're the professional and I'm coming to you, and again, this is part of my, where somebody deals with something and I go, right, okay, and accept it because I've accepted bad behaviour before.
Yeah.
So I just go, you know what, that's what you said and that's that, and I just walk away, and then I get angry because I'm saying to them, there's something wrong with me.
It's not, it's that your tolerance is a lot higher because of what you've been through. So when you've gone through trauma, your resilience is higher than, you know, Joe Bloggs on the road.
Honestly, the amount of things that are happening at the now, when I can refer back to and go, why did I let that happen? And I'm still doing it at the now. I was in a relationship there for 3 years, and I go, see, now that I'm out, I'm going, I accepted that because compared to what I've been through, that's nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm repeating that, and then I'm angry with myself because I know it. But yeah, I'm that desperate for somebody to say, do you know what, you're all right. I'm
51
and I'm still doing it.
But you've not engaged with counselling, have you, before now? So it will help going through that. But I think for you to understand you, it might be better to ask directly about that diagnosis. Yeah.
You're like, you never get to speak to a time.
You can actually find online an ADHD screening tool and take that into your GP. So if you put in Google ADHD screening tool and then take that in, that'll save you time. And then
ever since, so it's just a full textbook. I've been homeless twice. I'm currently bankrupt. But I spend money like I'm good at fashion.
Yeah.
I'm like, how is, and I'm paying this to them. And I've been fighting with everybody. I got a flat through the council because I lost my property. And the flat was covered in bedbugs. For 3 years, I've been fighting with the council for somebody to take responsibility, because the neighbour down the stairs is an invalid and he's contracting bed bugs, are coming up the wall. I say then I've been fighting the councillors, I've been on top of everything else. I'm like, I'm going to explode. I'm going to take the cat and run off the side of the bed. I cannot take it anymore. And I can tell they want to go away and try to pay for somebody to come out and deal with it. I had to do that myself because I just feel like...
Why didn't you contact environmental health?
I did.
Oh, they didn't come out.
I did. If I did them out, I've been asking for a steam treatment, okay? And then they came out with the spray, and I was like, the spray's no good. The spray just tells what's there. I'm able to do that.
Yeah.
So I was waiting for steamers to come out and do that. And then 3 years down the line, and it's still happening. I said, why is it still happening when the gentleman downstairs, he's only got a torso and a wheelchair, and they're eating him alive. He's in a wheelchair. nobody's going to meet him, and I'm trying, and they go, GDP, we can't discuss that. And I just, but I'm paying so rent for this property that's unmarketable, and I'm sending them pictures, and I took that GDP and built. I said, I can't cope with that. And then
you can raise a safeguarding because you're classed as a vulnerable adult because you were in care as a child.
No, but this is only coming out now because I've started linking in with people and saying, this is what's happening here, this is what, because everything I deal with myself, and then people wonder and you say why I'm always angry.
You've gone through an awful lot, and then when something else happens, it just tips you over, doesn't it?
Yeah. 100%.
Okay, so what age did you leave care?
So it was two periods of this period. So it was around about Easter, because it's my birthday. I remember it was my friend's birthday, so that was in primary 6 and primary 7. And then in primary 5, primary 6, primary 7, St. Colette's, the school burned down. And that was the only two periods, so it was two blocks of 6 weeks. You stayed there. It was like, two, I remember this girl, she was deaf, who went with me, and you get shot, cattle babies and these bussies and the Cannon bus station and took it to these schools, and you all had to sleep together, and your school was up the stairs, and it was just,
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a nice time. Did you get offered any support after that?
No, because how I dealt with it was a wee holiday, right? And you joked about it because I was embarrassed. Like, why was I getting singled out in the class? People were, well, it was like going, you know, it was bad. And there was a period in school where I was misbehaving. And I used to play up, but this is only because I didn't have a good start either. My mum had me in a children and baby unit. Give a bit of backstory. And my mum was staying with my biological dad. She left him. She met somebody else. He was in jail, in prison, and she gets back with him. At that point, I was about 3 or 4, and I got told that was my uncle. And then one of my relatives said, no, that's your dad. And my mum told me that he don't tell her boyfriend that's in the jail. And I'm like, so I'm confused, because I thought I was doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was doing this, and it was about a film. And it's only now that I've been in contact with my dad. I met my biological dad again after the guy that abused me, he died.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't tell him about it, but I'm trying to piece things back together. And he's like, no, that happened then. And I'm like, wow. Not now, no. Because I can trust about it. And I only get the power to do that because, again, when I became a mum, and I worked night shift, right?
Yeah.
In care, and she was phoning me and she goes, are these kids okay in the house? And I'm like, oh my God. And that just got, and I was like, what do you mean? Like, and she's like, you know, you're out working night shift and you're going to see kids. I was like, the kids are in middle of that. And then the anger just, I was like, you went to, because that's what happened to me. She went to work and I was left with him.
Yeah.
She was trying to rectify that by making decisions. And that just, I'm going to get angry now. It's
all right. Have a breath. Big breath. All right. Keep breathing. So you feel yourself come back down. In through your nose. And out through your mouth. Okay?
Okay.
All right. In through your nose. And out through your mouth. Keep doing that until you're ready.
I don't know how righteous about this one.
Well, I think you've done absolutely amazing. And sometimes it takes someone else to tell you your strength because no one's told you. And I think you've been extremely strong to get to where you are right now. All right.
Everybody seems to be coping with things and moving on, and I know you can never judge, but I'm like, I've left with this guilt and anger, and it stems because I miss my baby.
You've got to remember, everybody's journey is completely different. You cannot compare yourself to, you know, Joe Vlogs down the road. Everybody reacts completely different. Everyone's story is different. You're never going to be on that same path. Okay? So don't think about anybody else, just think about yourself. Okay? And take it at your pace. Alright? Right, I'm going to change the subject, if that's okay.
Yeah.
So, with our team, are you happy to stay with me?
Yeah.
Lovely. So you don't have to tell anyone else. I've already got the information here, and I can see what you spoke to other people about. Do you give us consent to get copies of your records?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And do you want to see those records? I can leave that for next time, and then what we can do is make that decision next time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to tell you about the process now.
Okay.
So the process is going to take about 10 months, okay? I'll be your main point of contact until this is ended. So save my number in your phone, and if you get any questions, just give me a call. We're going to gather all the evidence that we can from your care records, GP, everywhere, okay? And then once we've got all that together, I'll then call you back to clarify what we've got. Now, if at that point you do not want to hear that, that's fine. I will go away, speak to the manager and say that you're not ready to hear it, but you're happy for us to proceed with the case and take that forward, okay? What we can do from then is then put your case forward to the Scottish Egress Panel, okay? You're not required to go to that panel. It's closed door, but we will let you know what date it's going to be, okay?
Yeah.
So as part of our compliance, I have to tell you what your options are for Scottish Egress, okay? So you can do this independently and research your own evidence. You can have a different solicitor from England or Scotland who have accepted a fee of £2,000 to act on your behalf from Scottish Egress. They receive that fee no matter if you win or lose, okay? Now, MMA Legal, we've opted out of that fee from Scottish Egress, and we only take a 20% cap fee from your case if you win. And if you lose, there's no charge. So it means they're completely independent and acting for you. You're entitled to a 14-day cooling off period. Are you happy to proceed with MMA?
Yeah.
Yeah, and would you like the 14 days, or would you like to proceed immediately?
No, just carry on, please.
Yep, that's fine. So do you have any other questions for me today?
No, I think so not.
No? How are you feeling at the moment?
I'm okay.
Yeah. Where are you going from here?
To home.
Home, okay. You got your kids there?
Yeah.
Yeah?
And I
don't,
yeah.
Well, I know there's still always your kids, aren't they? Your babies. They'll always be your babies, even if when they're your age, they're going to be your babies. Okay?
Yeah.
Have you got a tissue?
Yeah.
You've done amazing today, honestly. You should be so proud of yourself. I'm not going to go until you're ready, okay? And we'll sit together.
Okay.
I can tell you a really rubbish joke if you like, and you won't laugh. You'll just say that was really rubbish.
Go for it then.
I don't even know any jokes I've had before. See? Oh, make it bigger. You don't need to be, you've got absolutely nothing to be sorry for, okay? You only get sorry if you've done something wrong. Alright?
Okay.
And you make sure you remember that.
Yeah.
Going forward, that's your new mantra.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I'm fine.
Yeah? What are you having for dinner tonight?
Oh, I don't know yet. The joys of having adults, so hopefully they meet at fun with it again.
Oh, that would be amazing.
I know.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I don't do that a lot.
Oh, maybe it's better now that they're in the house, so.
Oh, have you got any pets?
Yeah, I've got a wee dog.
Oh, what's your dog called?
Troy.
Troy. Oh, cute. What breed is it?
He's a little cavapoo.
Oh.
I hated that, honestly.
Yeah.
He's my favourite pet.
Yeah, I was going to say, dogs are like your best mate, aren't they, when you've got trauma.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, I think you've been dead the last, I've only had them 5 years, but this is,
Yeah, I've got a dog that's similar to me, my little trauma dog. She's my baby. Anything happens to her, like, I'm completely fall apart.
I know, you just listen.
Yeah. She's like a teddy bear, actually. She's a teddy bear breed as well.
What's she? What breed is she?
A Bichon cross Shih Tzu.
Oh, yeah.
But at the moment, she's very fluffy. She needs a haircut. Yeah, it's a nightmare, isn't it?
Yeah, because I've been doing like the cold water dip. I take him with me.
Oh, brilliant.
He's loving it, but he gets nasty so much that it's drying.
Yeah.
And he can dry out. I think he thought I'm off that jumping in, but.
That's good that you're doing that. That's amazing.
I know, I can try something.
Yeah, not many people can do it, going into cold water. I go off waterfall hunting and do that. Yeah, and obviously you can go and swim in some, not all of them because they're not very deep. But up where you are, there's probably quite a few.
Yeah, I think that's the good thing about social media is you're seeing places that you don't normally get to see. And
yeah.
I've been a single female and I've met a group of people who do like the tent camping and stuff, the camper camping.
Yeah.
I just try to find a niche of people that are just.
Similar position, you'll probably find that a lot of people have gone through similar situations as well.
Yeah.
I love going outside in the nature. Go for a walk. It's good for you.
Yeah. My daughters are out there doing their own thing.
Yeah. It's your time now though, isn't it?
Exactly. This is why I need to pick me. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now is your time.
Yeah.
So, thank you very much for your time today, Karen. All right. I've got all that information down, and then we'll get that started as soon as we can. All right?
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right. You take care of yourself now.
Thanks, Karen. Take care. Bye-bye.
No worries. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.